And just like that, we are back on the air. Thanks for tuning in. This is Robert here at Bike Sport Radio. And just ignore all that noise. It's been a little while since I've been able to get in here and actually do some recording. So hope everything is well. We're in the year 2020 now, and life has been interesting to say the least. So we know that the world's in a strange place right now. Some people like it, some people don't. And you know what? I'm not here to talk about any of that nonsense. Anyways, Bike Sport Radio's back on for 2020. And in case you have not noticed, and maybe some have, maybe some haven't, we're actually doing videos now as well. So I have a YouTube page for Bike Sport Radio. So a lot of the interviews now will be video based as well. It's not just audio. You'll actually now be able to see pictures. We're going to be doing some more video reviews as well as we get along. So just bear with me. I'm still making some tweaks and adjustments, change up some mics and things like that. So you're going to hear some noises and just ignore it. It's still the same old me. So anyways, so let's start off with some of the new news here. So today's show, basically, it's kind of like, hey, welcome back. What have I been doing? Well, here's what we've been doing. Visited CABDA in January. Got a lot of interviews from there. If you've gone onto the YouTube channel, like I said, follow us on Facebook, Bike Sport Radio on Facebook, and you will see there's the link for the videos. And they're there, so, you know, enjoy it. But I went to CABDA and kind of met up with a lot of people, getting a feel of what's going on, you know, and because, like I said, Interbike's not here. So CABDA's kind of taking up that space, getting the dealers out there to meet with the vendors and whatnot. So this is year two for CABDA West. I went last year, went this year. And it's, with any new show, it's growing. And I think it grew a little more this year. So now it's looking like it's got some momentum. Now CABDA East is a very large show, and it has a lot of foot traffic, primarily because a lot of the people from the East didn't get out to the West to get to Interbike. So now that Interbike's not, it's kind of like, okay, everybody went to CABDA. CABDA kind of took that space. Well, now we're trying to develop that CABDA West thing again. I think it's great. I think it's a good time of year, to be honest with you. I think if you're going to do a show, that's a good little time to kind of introduce your wares. And nowadays, you know, it used to be Interbike was in September because you placed your preseason orders and you got stuff in before Christmas. Now pretty much everybody's kind of still doing the same thing, but ordering earlier in the year to get those real good discounts. So if you know you're going to come out with something, tease it in the winter, get the orders ready for summer, you know, and come in and get your pre-orders for summertime. So I always felt that you should have the trade shows late spring, early summer. Not always possible. Resorts were in convention centers and things like that, they always filled up really early. So, you know, I mean, I get it. I get why they did it. And, you know, with the modern times, you got to change. So I think the CABDA show in January is really good. But the one that seemed to take over by accident was Sea Otter. So not only is it a big race festival, it's now turned into the new show. I mean, everybody who's anybody is going to be there to show their stuff. And this is a chance for dealers and the public to get out and actually see the product. So it's a little different than an industry only show, but you're still getting the goods. You're still getting all the information, and you're getting to meet with the people, and you're getting to touch and feel the product. And they got a lot of demos going on. So let's see where it goes. And of course, as I mean, what's the big buzz in cycling right now is the e-bike, and the e-bike is taken over by storm. I mean, it's just amazing how many there are and how almost everybody has got one. There's a few holdouts, and barring the airplane and helicopters flying by, it's just part of the noise. It's just where I live, so. But anyways, they like to fly low on cloudy days. But anyways, yeah. And you know, I just thought about that as that blurted out my mouth, and we'll go back to that, visit that in a second. But so yeah, anyways, I think it's gonna be good. I think we just need to get more dealers out there. I've always hated the fact that they're in the middle of the week. But then again, you know, those are tend to be the low days for business, so you can sneak away for a couple hours or whatnot. Good luck to them. I think it'll grow. I think it'll keep going. We just get more dealers to the shows and make some incentives for them to get there. But I got a lot of interviews from CAVDA. We did debut a couple things there. We got the Cali helmets, did a debut, a couple other little small things here and there. But overall, the vibe was good. It's kind of good for everybody to get back together and say hi, and you can see a lot of reunions of you know, and sort, just a lot of people getting together going, oh, they haven't seen each other in forever. So, you know, one thing about the industry, it's really small, everybody knows everybody, and you know, it's a family. So, and with that note, I'm gonna step into some kind of downsides about our cycling family. Over this last weekend, actually today, just and I didn't even give the date today, so over the weekend here, the weekend of February 8th and 9th, we've lost two very vital people in our cycling industry up north. We lost Ed Lee. Make sure I get that right. And then we lost Jim Whitsett. And you know, both of these people were very significant members in our cycling community, and in our areas. Ed was up north, if I remember correctly, and been around forever. And Jim down here on the west side was a very prominent fixture here. Seen him in many shops, seen him around. I mean, he got around and did his thing, and it's kind of sad. When I first heard, I like Jim, and I couldn't put it together. And then, I mean, I knew the names, and I was like, God, I couldn't, just for some reason. And then I finally, it struck me, and then I was like, just totally just knocked the wind out of me. So it is just a painful loss for us on our west side here, and in our cycling community here, with the loss of Jim. It was very sudden, unexpected. Ed was, I believe, from up north, and let me make sure I get this correct. I wasn't familiar with him. I've heard his name around. But yeah, and kind of the same deal, an unexpected loss as well. So our cycling community is kind of hurting right now emotionally. Some fixtures in our community have just moved on. So prayers to their family, all their friends, and Ed Lee. That's, yeah, he was. So like I said, I'm not too familiar with Ed. I've known the name though, and I'm sure I've run into him, but he was more to the northern California area. I think he was up in the Bakersfield area. Yeah. So that's probably why I knew him, because I do have friends that ride and race up there in different shops. So, all right, let's get off of that. And the other thing that has happened, and it's no big secret, but it just crossed over into our world here, was the loss of, you know, Kobe and Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and the other passengers, his friends. Yeah, so that, how did it tie into us? Well, obviously, it's sports fixture in LA, and, you know, and not to sound greedy or selfish, whatever, but, you know, he crashed right into a very popular trail, and he, right where many of us in the San Fernando Valley and anybody, we've ridden in that spot. We know exactly where that, we see it on TV, we look, we know exactly what trail that is. So, yeah, as of right now, the main front trail is still closed. However, I know somebody who did ride it through another chute, and they were still able to access most of the trail. You just can't do the front side. So, you know, it's just there. But, yeah, you know, a lot of loss lately. So let's keep our heads, you know, on the swivel, keep them going, and let's hopefully that's it for the rest of this year, and we'll move on. So let's get back to our show. Kind of took a little left-right turn there. You know how the show is. It's kind of unstructured. So today I'm going to visit a couple things here. Number one, I've been doing a lot of review and testing. Two, we're going to revisit Kushcore. Now, yeah, I know Kushcore. And for those of you who are not familiar with Kushcore, it's a tire insert that goes in between your tire and rim and helps protect the rim. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. That, did I say that right? Anyways, yes, in a little bit. The other thing, too, that is in the air, and it's been all over social media, and it's been on the news, and it's been everywhere, and a Cirque du Soleil Volta. And I was fortunate enough to go and see it, and was impressed. Now, it's going to sound kind of weird, but yeah, I've really never seen a full Cirque du Soleil. I've seen elements of it. I've seen parts of it. I've seen pieces of it. I just never really had the time or really the interest. I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't have the interest to go see it. I was usually doing something else. You know, I'm a up-and-go person, so I'm always just up and going. And I could never find myself sitting through one of those. So I got the opportunity to go see it, read into the backstory of it, and I thought, I think I can relate to this. So got us a ticket and went out there and checked it out. So if you follow the Facebook page or my own personal page, you will see I've got some videos up from the night of the show. And let's just say it this way. If you are any type of athlete who has trained and committed time to make yourself, get yourself to a point in life where, you know, you feel like you are it. You have done what you wanted to do. You will relate to this show. Period. Straight out. You will relate to Volta. The show is done just, it's really, really well done, put together. The acts are amazing. But the story is even better. And the story we can relate to as athletes. I totally found myself relating to the character. And I was like just speechless half the time. And God, me, everybody knows me, knows I can talk sometimes. But I just was, holy crap. I mean, seriously, that just, you know, and then you start, The visuals of the show are just, you know, it's typical Cirque du Soleil. But just, you started making connections with the characters. You started making connections with the situations of the show. And to me, that's what hit me. Like, it really hit me, got me. And, I mean, everything they did in the show just tied in together. The athleticism involved, the arts, I mean, it was amazing. So, in essence, there's three characters in the show. It's Mr. Wow, which, by the way, I love Mr. Wow, it was so funny. And then there was Waz, and then there was Ella. And Mr. Wow was the judge. He's the chief judge of the whole show. So you had Please, Mr. Wow. Waz was, you know, the young boy who had the dreams and fought the fight to make his dreams happen. But as usually happens with that, you tend to lose your ways and you lose your identity. And this is what this story addresses. So there was also a message about society's use of how technology is really hurting society instead of helping it. So, you know, Ella is, and as soon as Ella shows up, you can already guess who this is. I mean, it's just right away, you know. And you put it together and you're like, okay. So yeah, those are some of the main characters. But, you know, we had the, you know, just different, the Grays were another set of characters. They were the city dwellers, the ho-hum, you know, people that were there. Then you have the free spirits, and Ella was, in essence, a leader of the free spirits, but then you have several more free spirits. So, you know, all these characters tied in together to show you the story of perseverance and the fight and the struggle to get to where you want it to be and the commitment and the time. I mean, it's just awesome to see it. So, the, you know, it's been typical Cirque du Soleil, lots of acrobats, trampolines. We've got the acro lamp was really cool. The swinging, the ladder scene was amazing. The shape diving, oh my God, if I could, my pictures, you can't take video during the show, but, and really hard to get good pictures in there unless you're using the really good equipment. But geez, the stuff they were doing, it boggled my mind. And then when you get to the final scenes there, the BMX skate park scene was off just in another level. I mean, I've seen stuff at the X Games. I've seen stuff. This is just on par and not up above. And the other thing that really kind of touched me, and It was just something special about it, and I'm not sure what, but there was a Flatland ballet duo. Now you heard that right, the Flatland BMX rider, and a ballet dancer, and they synchronized the moves of the bike to the dance, and they were both doing it simultaneously, and you could see how they connected them. And just as that part left me speechless for the most part. I mean, I just sat there, was like, it was beautiful. It was really well done. So it's only here till March 8th. Go out there and get your tickets. I wish I had a discount code for you guys. I don't. They had a Valentine's Day special. It's sold out. I mean, I saw like a couple single tickets running around there. That was about it, but I think for the most part, the show was sold out for Valentine's Day. But get in there and check it out. I went on Thursday night, and it was actually a really good night to go out and check it out. It was still pretty cool, too. I mean, for Thursday night, it was up there. So, Volta, you can get more information at CirqueDuSoleil.com/Volta and buy the tickets now. Like I said, it's from till March 8th, so get in there and get your tickets. There'll be some videos up. There's my review videos. I'll put up some videos from that Cirque du Soleil gave me to show. But for the most part, I mean, it was just an amazing show. So definitely check that out. All right, let's go forward now into our reviews. So yeah, a couple of actually a while ago, I actually acquired some KushCore. Now, what is KushCore? Well, as I mentioned before, the KushCores are a tire insert. You take these, you place them inside of your tire, and they protect. The original thought behind KushCore and what everybody knows them for is basically rim protection. Okay, you're running low air pressure in your tires, you get in the rocks, you squish the tire, goes in, slams in your rim, now you've got a destroyed rim, a dented rim, whatever. So a Kush core is a piece of foam that the specially developed cellular closed cell foam. Now, super lightweight though. This is something that's that I got to bring out. The version I got anyway is super lightweight and sits between the tire and the rim. Now, and basically what it does is it sits in the rim bed and offers a little bit of protection. So as the tire compresses, it's actually going to hit this foam, and this foam's going to take the space and kind of offer some protection to the rim. Okay, so that's what a lot of downhillers are using for, trying to eliminate pinch flats, blowing tires off the rims, and so on, so on, so on. There was a byproduct of this design, and the byproduct is this. It add some sidewall stiffness to your tire. It takes up some of the air volume in your tire. Now, you know that air has uncontrolled rebound, whatchamacallit, why am I going blank here? I'm usually really good at this. I had this almost written out. Properties, there you go, rebound properties. So air is really uncontrollable. You push air, it rebounds back at a normal pace, right? Whatever pace you impacted at. And you're now, with the Kush core, eliminating some of that because you've filled in the space, the void here, with this foam insert. So now what you've added is you've added some stability to your tires. Now the versions I'm running are the XC version. So super lightweight, weighs about the same as an inner tube, okay? I know, what's an inner tube, huh? But it weighs about the same as an inner tube. On my scale, it's hard to weigh these foam, but you know, with scale of the inner tube, it was right around there, maybe even a little lighter in the foam. And so this piece goes in there, and I will tell you this, if you look at the videos I put up, it's not hard. It's also not easy, if that makes any sense. It's got a technique down, and I'm not going to tell you the techniques, because you can actually go online, and some guys have done really good jobs on how to mount these. And there's a couple little tricks. Number one, don't do it when it's cold. Number two, don't do it when you're in a rush. And I can attest to that, because I was in a rush the other night as I was putting them back in and broke a couple of spoons, but I'm not going to talk about that. That was my fault. Was nothing to do with Kush core's fault. So anyways, so they go in there. Now, there's the benefit now. And I've actually noticed a huge difference in how my bike tracks over rough terrain where there's tire deflection. So let's say I'm coming into a rock garden, and without the Kush core, I noticed I'd always get a lot of little tire deflection. I'd get deflection off the rocks. I'd get like kind of flipped off the course of where I wanted to go. My suspension settings just seemed kind of off, and it was just really hard to dial things in. And when I went to running the Kush cores, a couple things came to mind. Number one, I didn't have to run as much air pressure. Two, when I got into these rock gardens, I found myself not fighting for direction and control. I was able to just go straight through them. The tire sidewall stiffened up. So now the tire actually became a little more solid. It was less affected by air volume pressures. The sidewalls stayed in their shape and was able to absorb the energy of the impact of the rocks a little better, and therefore less feedback into the handlebars. And at first I thought, oh, it's just I'm running lower pressures. Well, yeah, duh. You're running lower pressures, which means now the tire's going to do, it's going to do a little more, you know, it's going to flex a little more. You don't want too much flex in your tire. The sidewall stiffened up. So therefore, what was really happening is my suspension became more active. My suspension actually started working better. I was able to tune it more consistently. I was able to get it dialed in. And voila, I was enjoying my rides. Less stress, less feedback into the bars and the rough. Bike tracked. I could put it anywhere I wanted to. Here's the other thing, I was getting more traction. I got a little more traction out of these tires. I got a different feel. It turned my tires that I've been running for a while now, turned them into a totally different beast. And I was like, this is the same set of tires, the same worn out tires, and I still had bite, I had traction, I had comfort, I had control. It's like, what the heck? Cushcore. That's the only variable. Okay. So now, is there a downside? Yes, there is. Once again, they are not easy to mount. There is a trick to them. There is a technique to them. They are doable, though. They're actually not as hard. Once you do it once or twice, it's like, oh, okay, no big deal. Da 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 da, and you're done. They're really not that hard. There's a very itty bitty, and I don't know if it was more me or what, but I felt the initial acceleration, I kind of felt a little bit of rolling weight, but I ended up noticing that my lap times were faster with the Cushcore in the tires. Now, I don't know if it's because I could run the rougher sections faster, but I did notice top speed was higher in certain areas by anywhere between 0.5 mile per hour to 1 mile or two faster. So that could have been what it is right there, is that little bit of weight in this at the wheel actually helped with overall rolling speed. So everybody says that everybody wants to go, well, light wheels, light wheels, light wheels. Well, if you're on a road bike, I get it, light. But when we're in dirt and we're dealing with things like ruts, rocks, loose terrain, and we want a little bit of weight to help us track. So I'm good with running them. And then a little birdie told me, hey, guess what? A lot of the World Cup pros are actually running tire inserts. Shh, no one's supposed to know that. It's a secret. So yeah, it's actually a lot of XC riders are now running these things. Because in a World Cup level, guess what? You can't afford a flat. And if you do get a flat, you got to ride a while on that tire till you can get it changed. So they've actually, you'll notice now that they're kind of, I can say, I don't know if I'm even supposed to say it, so I won't, but I do know of the very, very popular World Cup team exclusively using not this particular brand, but a brand similar. So, but yeah, so here's my version. I got the Cushcore XCs. I love them. Am I going to run them for XC this year? When I get back to it, yes. I'm going to leave them in my tires. I feel that it's the control, the stiffness of the tire wall now, and I'm using super light XC tires, so that's why I feel that there's a benefit. And some people say, well, get a stiffer sidewall tire. Yeah, you're kind of missing the point though. With tires nowadays, our compounds are really making the difference, and I have a super sweet set of tires. The compound's amazing, sticks to everything, rolls fast. I'm not, why am I going to change that? But if I can add something to eliminate that air rebound in the tire, I've got it covered. So there it is, Cushcore in a heartbeat. So, anyways, I definitely give it two thumbs up for Cushcore. I'm using the XC version. There is a downhill. There's an enduro. I believe enduro and downhill are going to be the same version, and the gravel tire version is out there as well. It's a little smaller, of course, for the gravel rim. Like I said, I think it is definitely worth it. It's and like I said, the installation is what scares people, and a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not going to insert that. Oh, I don't want to insert that. But you know what? Let me tell you, it's actually not that bad. And it's actually, if you ever did get a flat and had to take it off, it's really not that hard to get off either. If you know the basic principles of how to mount a tire on a bike rim, you are good. All right, so don't even worry about that. All right, so that was my review on Cushcores. And like I said, you want to hit me up and ride my bike with it when we're at a race, go ahead and just let me know, and I will let you take her out for a spin, and hope that you enjoy the ride. So, okay. All right, let's go on to our next thing. Okay, so one of the things I was telling you about was when I was at CAPT, I was doing a bunch of different interviews, And I was cruising along, you know, doing my thing and talking to people and interviewing some stuff. And I found this really, these two guys, and they had the really coolest little invention. I had to look at it, had to stop. And it turned out that these two guys, young guys just out of college, and they're starting a cycling accessory business. So, anyways, take a listen and enjoy.
All right, here I am with at KLM Cycling, and check this out, gear to help you get after it. Great idea. Here's some stuff they got here, and I've cornered Austin.
Yeah, what's up, Robert?
Hey, good.
Got a bunch of cool products to show you.
All right, so Austin here is one of the founders, creators. What are you doing over here?
Yeah, we got a bunch of, we got some tubeless products as well as mounts, and then we have a tubeless tire repair tool right here. And any color Garmin mount you ever want. We got some Wahoo products as well. Cool phone adapters.
I see you've got a trainer block, it looks like.
Yeah, we got an awesome trainer block that has grips on the bottom here. So we got three web grips right here. And then it's got height indicators on each side.
Okay.
And let's see. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. It doesn't go sliding around, right?
Yeah, we go up front up here.
Yep, and we're going to walk over here and check out some new stuff. And we can't show all the top secret stuff yet, but there's some cool things coming out.
Yeah, I can show you our phone adapter here. But basically, it mounts to the back of your phone with a 3M adhesive, and then you're able to put this in any Garmin or Wahoo mount. We have different versions for both Garmin and Wahoo, but it just snaps on like that, and then you're able to take your phone on your ride with you.
Okay.
We see a lot of people with Zwift and Trainer Road using it for indoor training.
Yeah, excellent. Now he's got a couple things in here as well. There's some people over here. Now we're in the middle of a show and they're making, they're doing business here. You'll see something in there right about there. See that? We can't talk too much about that yet, but you kind of get an idea of what's coming out. And there's something else over here. It looks a little red. We'll talk about that later on as well. We're going to show them. Go ahead and grab one of those tools there, because that's really cool. So tubeless tires are all the rage, right? So this is their tubeless tire repair kit. Now, this guy here, one unit contains everything you need. So take a look at this.
Yeah, so on one side we have our tire fork right here. You can actually insert the bacon strips in your tire with. And then on the other side, we have our reamer right here, 25 grams for the entire unit. And then we have 8 different colors for them. But basically, you can just pull out the bacon strips right here,
yep,
and you're ready to fix your tires on the go.
And everything's contained in the unit, so you go, you got your rasper in case you got a stubborn hole you got to ream out, and then you've got your fork to put your plugs in there, and they're still in there. Everything's in there, 25 grams. It's not going to take up any space. Now, the one thing that caught my eye when we first got here, and I'm going to have Austin go and steal it if he can. There it is, right here.
Here's the product that
caught your eye. Yeah, this is what caught my eye, is this injector. Now, most injectors will actually screw onto that thread, onto the valve core, but this guy's different. This one actually injects. It's kind of like you're giving your tire an IV, because it looks like made of surgical tubing. So take a look at this. This is your sealant injector. It uses a syringe with a threaded nozzle, but then it's got a little valve there, hose, and it inserts in. So if you look in there, you'll see it. It's actually inside the tire there. The tube comes in, boom, you inject it, you're out. You're not threading on to the valve stem like a lot of the other ones do. Real clean, and the nice thing is, the pieces on this are replaceable. So if something ever does happen, you can actually get these parts from them if you need to. KOM Cycling. Where do they go to look up more info on all your products?
Yeah, feel free to go to KOMcycling.com. or KOM_cycling on Instagram, and we'll have our products and updates right there.
All right, thank you so much, Austin, for stopping by. Remember, KOM Cycling.
So yeah, that was KOM. Oop, where am I? There I am. I just got to remember to raise the volume on this thing. So yeah, KOM Cycling, it made a really, I love that injector. Now that injector that they have for installing sealant, it's definitely, I mean, I like the fact that it can be used for two things. Number one, it can be used to inject the sealant in. At the same time, it can also be used to suck the sealant out. Now, this is something that when you're, and I got to add, You can also use it to check your level of your sealant. It's like a dipstick. So you throw it in there, you stick it in. Okay, do I have sealant showing or not? Let's say you're getting ready to pull the tire apart. And, you know, like what I usually do is I take the tire, break the bead a bit, and then I take a squeezy bottle syringe. I take a bottle of old sealant, a small little mini bottle with a nozzle top, and I suck it back out of there so I don't have that much dripping out at the end. Well, with this guy, you can take it in there, stick it in there, suck all the sealant out of there as much as you can, then pull the tire apart and give it a wipe down. You don't have as much liquid in there. Really, really love that device. I have, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And I did get a sample of it. I have used it, and it's amazing. I love it. And I do like the fact that I can call them up and get the replacement parts for it, too. I don't have to buy a whole new syringe. The one thing I didn't get from them is the price on it. Now, somewhere in my mess of stuff here, I probably have the price book somewhere. But I'm sure a simple Google search will probably come up with it. And sure enough, it's amazing what we do without Google, huh? But anyways, the syringe sells for, let me see here, to the solutions, here we go. Yeah, nice website too, komcycling.com. So the injector is, depends which one you get. There's a $16 and $15. Oh, $16 is the one with the turn-off valve. You get an actual little valve that shuts off there. And the sealant injector without it is $15 for a dollar more. Get the dollar more one. The repair kit, or wait, maybe that's the same. Oh, there they are. Okay, yeah. $15.99 for the tubeless repair kit. I mean, that thing, I think the biggest problem you're going to have is that you might actually lose it because it's so small. But throw it in your pack, throw it in your saddlebag, in your bike. It's always going to be there. Get a bright color. Everybody likes to get black, but that's the first one you're going to lose because it's going to be buried in the bottom of your bag and you're going to not see it. So go with something nice and bright. Nice anodized aluminum cases here. Keep everything watertight and fresh. They're O-ring sealed. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Their mounts were really cool. They basically right now have Garmin and Wahoo mounts, which is kind of the standard right now. That's what most people are running, the Garmin mount, standard mount. So the thing I couldn't really show you at the time, but now is out on their, well, one of them is out on the website now. So if it's on their website, I can now talk about it. You'll see it in my video. Is the GoPro mount that will mount under this mount. So you can actually mount a camera down there. One thing I've noticed is not only can you mount a camera now, which I recommend everybody ride with a camera. I mean, this is anywhere you go. We're based out of LA, but you know what it's like. I ride with cameras front and rear. You pretty much need to nowadays. It's gotten to that point. But let's say you're not riding with a camera and you have a very busy handlebar setup and you're going out for a night ride. A lot of the modern lights now are coming with GoPro mounts to mount the lights. For example, the Moon Sport lights have that. So I actually use that. I've been using that with their remote switch. And it sits under my computer, so it's center mounted. It's not off to the side. So I'm actually going to get center mounted light. Now, I don't know what it is, but I love center mounted lighting. For some reason, it's more effective than something off to the right or the left of the center of the stem. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I got to have my lights center mounted. Anyways, KOM Cycling, great product line. I love their mounts. Real clean, real simple. I like their add-on Garmin mount, which is really cool because if you think about it, that phone adapter, you can now take that and stick that into your mount. So let's say you're not going to use your computer, or let's say you are using your phone as your computer. They've got a very substantial mount on there as well. So they're using the standard Garmin mounts. All right, so that was KOM Cycling. And I thank them and wish those guys best of luck on that. They have some really nice products out there. Okay, so here we go. Hold on a second. You're going to hear something you don't want to hear, so let me shut that down. See, I'm back in a heartbeat. It wasn't that long, I swear. I promise. All right, a couple other things going on right now. We just had the Rock Cobbler this last week, and the Southridge Winter Series is on, and XC is back. So, yeah, I missed the Cobbler this year. I'm actually down with a wrist injury, and there was just no way in the world was my wrist going to handle drop bar riding in the gravel. I did think about doing it on a mountain bike, though, but I just didn't really train for it. So I heard just great stories about the Cobbler, so put that on your calendar for next year. Shout out to Sam Ames out there and the whole crew for putting on a great event. Everybody who's come back from it has always just said, ouch, but man, it was a good ouch. So good job out there. And the stories, and I'm sure they're going to start popping out on Facebook. So if you know anybody who went, take a look at their feeds. Let's see. So as I said, Southridge Winter Series is going. Donnie's, what, I think 30 years now. I think 25, 30 years, somewhere around there. Just still plugging along. And XC came back. So let's get out there and support Donnie with some XC entries. You know, we're still out there. It's a great course. They changed the course up a little bit. Makes it a little different of challenging. You know, it's still a challenge out there, so by all means, get out to get some preseason stuff going in. And then the, what was it? It used to be the Kenda Cup. Now I'm not sure what they're calling it. I haven't used it. USA, here we go. Let's see. I'll get it right now. Team Big Bear, still promoting events, right? So yeah, their first race. Team Big Bear. They don't really have a series name for it anymore. Anyway, Vail Lake number one. The weekend of February 29th and March 1st is going to be Vail number one, and they're going to have cross country and endurance as well as enduro. So they're all going to be held at Vail Lake. Vail Lake number two is 2 weeks afterwards, and the same thing, we're gonna have the U.S. Cup UCI Pro Cross Country. So there's our first UCI event. That'll be the 13th through the 15th. They'll also have UCI Pro and Junior Short Track. That's also gonna be Cross Country number two, and SoCal Enduro number three. Note, there is no endurance for Vail Lake number two, primarily because the big UCI level XC races are going to take up most of that weekend. So they still will have enduro, however. All right, and I believe that'll be enduro number three. Enduro one, I believe, was the same weekend as the SoCal Endurance 6 and 12 hour weekend. So there we go. Then we get into March 21st through 22nd. We get into Bonelli Park number one, and this is also going to be a UCI Pro Cross Country weekend. So you're going to have the cross country with short track as well as the amateur cross country, which will probably be on Sunday, I believe. Check their schedule, and they'll give you all the details available on teambigbear.com. Then Bonelli 2 will approximately be 2 weeks after that. That'll now take us into April 5th. So we go from March 22nd, yeah, then we go into April 5th, so about 2 weeks. And this will be cross country number 4 and 4 hour endurance number 2. Now, I believe endurance number 1 is the distance, and endurance number 2 is going to be timed. So that's going to be interesting. It's two different formats. Even though endurance racing, it's two different ways you're going to approach it. So that should be interesting. And then, this is new. And this is actually nice to see this on the calendar, because I did do a six-hour out there over the winter against better judgment, bad wrist and all. Lehigh Trails up in Tehachapi is going to host cross country number 5, endurance number 3, and enduro up in Tehachapi. Can I just tell you, if you haven't been to Lehigh Trails, you need to go, and while you're there, pitch in a couple bucks to their donation, or just go online and donate. They've done an amazing set of trails up there. It was so much fun. at one point during my 6 hour, I thought I was on a roller coaster, and I actually got dizzy during one of the segments because it was so just smooth and swoopy, and I mean, I was on it, and I mean, having a blast. Great little area to have an event, let me tell you. And that's going to be in May, so that's May 5th through May 3rd. All right, so that's going to be something else. And then Team Big Bear heads to Big Bear. Why not? Yeah, Big Bear number one is going to be in May this year. And usually they were in June, if I remember correctly. So, like I said, May 30th will be Big Bear one. Then they're going to go back to Vail for the Junior National Championships. Now, I believe that's just juniors only, so you want to check that out. And that's June, first week of June, first weekend. Then Big Bear 2, middle of June, and I believe this is the series final. That'll be June 13th through 14th, Big Bear number 2. Snow Summit all day, all weekend. And then if you're a Jess, and that's for the cross-country final. Cross-country endurance series final, and then enduro finals. Now, Crafts and Cranks, and this is kind of middle of July there. Fun event, great time. California State Cross Country and Endurance Championships. So we had the finals, but now you're going to have a one-day championship series, championship event. So that'll be July 18th through 19th, so you want to check that out as well. All right, so you can find out more. If you missed any of that, go back to teambigbear.com for more information on that. Anybody else got events out there, gravel grinders and whatnot, go ahead and send them to me via email at bikesportradio@gmail.com. And get them up on the list, all right? So let's see what time we're at. Looks like it's, I'm going to go ahead and call this show with the show what it is. It's time to go. A couple more, another, oh yeah, one more big notable, but I don't think it's going to matter because I think they're sold out already. But the Belgium Waffle Ride is happening as well. And oh, how could I forget? Good old Sea Otter. Right after you pay your taxes. Does that make sense? Yeah, it should. Let me see here. Oh, Belgian Waffle Ride is going to take place, I believe, in April. Or am I off again? May 3rd. There we go. Sorry, I missed it. So that will be May 3rd for the Belgian Waffle Ride. And I do not believe, I believe they sold out. But the other news with Belgian Waffle Ride was, they're moving to other parts of the country. We're actually going to have more than just one. So it's going to be really awesome to see that, the growth. The demand is there. So that's really cool. Congratulations, Michael, and the team for getting it out there and growing it. Probably one of the very first gravel rides, and I did it way back when. And let me tell you, it's definitely a challenge. So you want to check that out. And then Sea Otter, of course. Sea Otter, we mentioned that earlier in the show. The Sea Otter Classic is going to take place for 5 days, starting April 16th and ending April 19th, with anything on two wheels, and sometimes one, you can find it at the Sea Otter Classic in Monterey. Now, just be forewarned, if you're still thinking about it, you better get on the hunt for accommodations, because as I was doing my booking, I found many places were double the rate, and one of the reasons they were selling out, and it wasn't just because of Sea Otter, there's actually two other events going on that same weekend. So expect some little more traffic delays. If you need to be at the track at a certain time, you want to give yourself lots of extra time to get there. If you can ride a bike there, by all means, do it. It would be really cool if a company came and offered some like bike share, some e-bike stuff to help us get in and out of there quicker. That'd be awesome. But, you know, once again, they don't come to me for ideas. But anyways, yeah, take a look at that. Get your passes, get your entries in, monitor it, and we should see you there. Hunt me down if you're there. Say hi. Maybe I'll get you out on the radio here. Let's see, what else I'm going to say. Sea Otter Classic, and that's that. Am I out of words yet? I think I'm out of words. Like once again, if you have any events coming up, go ahead and reach out to me. Let's get them on the air. Oh, yeah, one more big noticeable thing. How could I forget this? And it was all over the media the other day. As you know, most of our big bike shows in the Orient are occurring right now, and one of the biggest bike shows was Taipei. But because of this coronavirus scare in China, there was a petition that went around to cancel it. And initially, Taipei said no. Well, turns out that I guess the push was there, the threat is real, and Taipei did cancel the show. Now, that's a pretty big undertaking right there. But once again, in the interest of human safety and concern, it was probably one of the wiser moves. So I applaud them for taking that step. I know it's a big financial hurt for them because they do rely on that income that comes in. But, you know, I believe they're going to reschedule it for a little later on so that they're still going to have a show. And hopefully, you know, by then things are under control. So that's one of the biggest things. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay away from all that. So everybody take care till the next show. Once again, follow us, Bike Sport Radio on Facebook. And our YouTube channel is also Bike Sport Radio on YouTube. Take a look there. More changes are coming with Bike Sport Radio. Like I said, we're going to a little more video formats. And if you'll notice, that KOM interview was directly off the video, and that will be up on the YouTube channel for you to watch. And just keep an eye on more and more. There's also some Volta at the moment reviews from the show. I couldn't really tape the show against policy, and I'm one of those who follows the rule. So I did talk about the show as I was there, so you got my emotions straight off, like as they happened, so you could see a side there. Probably something I missed, but definitely take a look at that. And we are there. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Please share. Don't share the flu. Don't share the cold. But share Bike Sport Radio. Help me grow. You got products you want to list. You got products you want me to talk about. You got products you want to test. You got products that you're not sure if they're going to work. Post them up. Let's do some, have some fun with them. And let's help you grow. All right? I help you. You help me. We're all in this together. So you guys take care. Thanks for tuning in. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And it's time for me to hit the road because I am definitely out of words.